Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Wrestling Omakase is back, baby. The weekly podcast that takes you across all the top promotions on the entire Japanese wrestling scene, from New Japan to Stardom, NOAH, DDT, All Japan, Marigold, Dragon Gate, Tokyo Joshi, Sendai Girls, and a whole lot more. I'm John Carroll, a fan of Japanese wrestling for over 20 years, and every week I'm joined by a rotating cast of guest co-hosts as we break down all the top promotions in Japan, men's and women's. Check out Wrestling Omakase right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Wrestling this week in the news, your Mania tickets are on sale. We'll tell you how much those will set you back. The lazy river of wrestling criticism, ice cold takes on All Out and WrestlePalooza. Both were kind of mid for different reasons. And Invader Club this week, a first from Beyond Wrestling. Unrepentant stupidity, and I am here for it. RD Evans versus Orange Cassidy. I am Jeff Hawkins. Chris Novembrino is off this week, mostly because I had a schedule crunch and I had to get this show in, and offering to bravely fill in my heterosexual life mate, former guest of the show, referenced often because he is my improv partner, filmmaker, actor, still in the grind, Brian James O'Connell. Should I use your full Christian name on this?
We have to for SEO purposes. There's several Brian O'Connells, and one of them is a very successful fursona artist, which I found out by accident. So spare yourself.
The Jeff Hawkinses are very strange. In Hollywood, there was one, but he was in the 1938 version of Treasure Island or something.
Yeah. Like,
whatever. But outside of it, Jeff Hawkins invented the Palm Pilot.
Ooh.
Jeff Hawkins was a point guard for the University of Kansas about 10 years ago, which was fun.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
And then the third one, which has given me nothing but grief since living in Los Angeles. Scientology critic Jeff Hawkins had a knock on my door one day.
Oh, no. Not the right guy. Not the right guy. Different guy.
I said, that's not me. You need to prove it. I go, No, I do not. I don't know anything about Scientology, nor do I wish to. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah. You're not my mom or my minister. I don't got to prove jack to you, man. Get out of my building.
Just, I was like, really? Oh, there's two in California. And apparently someone decided that, oh, they were going to look this person up and confront them, go to their place.
Yes.
What? So is that what we do now? We read the news and we look up somebody's address and go there? Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, that's how it got me. Like, I found out we're showing our age here, in the early 90s, before there was social media or even pictures of people on the internet, fans of Brian O'Connell, Fursona artist, would find my email address, not knowing it was me and not knowing I was a sophomore in college. And they would send me emails with clips of their amateur art of anthropomorphic foxes and wolves with large members in delecto in flagrante, however you want to say, in flagrante. And I would have to email them back and be like, you clearly have a lot of talent. Unfortunately, I am not the Brian O'Connell that you seek. I cannot give you criticism or guidance on your art career. Be safe in your travels.
Here's how my also crossed path is on a when I was still in college on the pep band listserv. I wrote a quote: second place means you're the first loser. And I put that in my Usenet signature for message boards and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And somehow that got attributed to the inventor of the Palm Pilot. And he's like, I never said that. I have no idea how that got attributed to me.
Oh, it's like one of those, you know, classic internet meme of fly, you fools. Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Everything you read on the internet is true. Abraham Lincoln. Yes, thank
exactly.
you very much.
President of Mars.
WrestleMania 2-day passes have gone on sale, and the cheapest to get in the door, uh-huh, $854.15 per ticket for the 400 level.
Ooh, for the nosebleeds.
Yes.
Woof.
And yes, it goes up 300 level, 1303. Off-center risers, 3868. Floor ringside rows, 789, 8998. Floor ringside rows, 5 and 6, 11563. And if you want to be ringside, row 2, $32,083 per ticket.
Question. Is that for one night or both nights?
Both nights.
Oh, so 11,000 and change combined for two. Got it.
I believe so.
I don't know. TKO's been making a lot of noise, and they said it's been too cheap for too long. That Vince McMahon, he's been a softy. He's gone soft on you guys for too long. Time to pay your price.
Everybody says, you know, Vegas is down in tourism as because of the current administration. I am here to push back on that, because I think it's because you can't do, and you'll pardon my French here, those of you with kids in the car, please put earmuffs on. Broke Dick Vegas is no longer a thing.
No! You can't go to circus and be a, you know, be a sleazeball and do all that kind of stuff.
The Frontier was my jam.
Yes.
Man. I loved the Frontier, because you go to Gilly's, get like dollar Miller Lights, and just be happy all night long. I mean, you could afford other hotels and stuff, but like, you go now, I stay at Park MGM when I go to Vegas, because it's non-smoking, and trust me, game changer. Absolute game changer. But it's like, oh, you can go to the Nathan's in the food court and get a $12 hot dog. I'm like, no! I want my prime rib and lobster for $5.99 after midnight, please. Where can I get that again?
I had family that worked in Vegas for a long time. My uncle was, you know, sort of the main physical plant guy at the Luxor. My cousin, his son, was a pit boss there. My aunt served tables at MGM, and so I would go out and visit them. And you can, like, walk around, do stuff. You can see things. But also, if you wanted to go, they're like, oh, get off the strip. Go down there. Like, horseshoe, all that stuff, man. Yeah, like, you can have the inside and out. I mean, God forbid, should we reference Bill Simmons on this podcast. But he does make a good point that it's impossible now for you to drive out on Friday, have a, like, let's go crazy wild weekend and then drive back Monday morning or Sunday night, and then have that Vegas experience. It's impossible to do that now for people for people like us who are not people of means.
Or you could stay at the El Cortez and take your chances. done that too, and that's not fun because you're like right across the street, crack house, you know.
And there's just too much now. There's too, like, a big boxing match used to do it. I had a theory for a long time that the NBA should change their start date. They should start on Christmas. But the idea being is that you could have the NBA draft. If you move the schedule, you got the NBA draft on a Thursday night, right? In May, you would have a big boxing match on Friday or Saturday. You could have college football. Everybody's in the sports books all day. Maybe there's a big wrestling event. You could have a pay-per-view on Sunday, and then you have a Monday Night Raw following that. You could make a whole week where you get NBA, NFL, maybe NHL, perhaps baseball, now that the Athletics are going there. You could have this sort of thing, and that would pay, like, the amount of people and money that would come in that would pay for the whole thing, especially if you have a boxing pay-per-view and or a wrestling pay-per-view or something like UFC.
That would be like F1. Like, if you tried to get a hotel room when the F1 was there.
No, my sister went to the first F1 in Vegas, the one that got canceled, because they're like, oh, yeah, right. We should probably make the, what do you call it, the sewer thing, like, flat.
Are you telling me the infrastructure can't handle an F1 race?
watched it, her and my brother-in-law. Watched the race on their hotel room TV and could hear it from their window, from their hotel room, because they were facing out. Miserable. My sister's a huge F1 fan. They've traveled to, like, Italy and Spain and France to watch races. I was like, oh, finally, I get to go to one here in America. They did what? Why not?
Jasmine Nix not re-signing with NXT. She was written out on the Tuesday television in the most, boy, when they're saying, don't let the door hit you when the good Lord split you, they will do it. They just, like, the other members of Fatal Influence just went and looked, well, she was a weak link anyways, and walked off. Yeah. That's how they wrote her off. But
Jasmine Nix has gone back to her home planet. Just pooching her right at the door.
They pooching her. That's exactly it. I thought she had improved at least. Yeah. Over, like, Sky Blue level in AEW, but former soccer player, but Fightful Select spoke with a number of sources familiar with the situation, including agents, NXT staff, talent, and more about the figures going around and what happened in relation to her deal. WWE sources did confirm to Fightful Select Sean Ross Sapp that they wanted to retain her, but were unwilling to budge from their offer. The claims from Inside NXT was that Nix was at about $75,000 on her deal, which is the same amount that was offered for a new multi-year deal. We aren't told that it would have escalated over time. NXT talent can make significantly less than that when they're recruited or first brought in. However, there are some on the NXT roster that are making six figures and even above main roster minimums. Main roster base pay starts at $350,000. Get paid, according to those we spoke with. When one person on Instagram commented that NXT wrestlers make $80,000 to $150,000, Jasmine noted that it wouldn't have been an issue if that were the case. One NXT talent said that Nix likely ended up with less than $60,000 after taxes. That FICA's a B, kids, and still incurs the cost of gear and the like. Yes, you kind of have to pay for hair, makeup, things of that nature when you're still in there. I am also going to posit this. Her boyfriend is a reality TV star.
Yeah.
And those guys, if you get on a decent show, these competitive reality, he's a former linebacker at Clemson.
He's having a great week all around then.
Well, Clemson, we don't play school here. But you know, I figure, you know, I mean, for her being kind of low on the totem pole at NXT, very pretty, like her, and I have a note here saying, remind of idiot boyfriend, because they got caught doing social media stuff, making fun of handicapped people at Disney.
Oh, that's right. I had forgotten about that.
But you could make more being a quote-unquote social media star, as those athletes from the University of Miami basketball team, those two twins, found out, than you can in NXT, although they'll now let you keep those income streams. She could be on competitive reality shows for the next 6 or 7 years without getting a job and probably make more money than she was in NXT, but she doesn't have, I mean, she wouldn't get main roster. I mean, the main roster boost when you go up there is significant. So, I mean, I'm of the opinion that this, I mean, she chose not to re-sign, and I think it originally came out it was $45,000 a year. And I said, for that much, you walk. You walk.
It's the principle of it. I mean, I feel like I agree with all that. Lance Storm probably had the best take on it and said, look, you know, she's a nice girl. Leave her alone. There's all types of jobs that were, if you don't want to do it for the money that you're offering, you leave. There's no right or wrong. There's no negative or positive. There's no moral or amoral change with it. I don't think I'm worth that. I think I'm worth more. We disagree. Congrats. The problem is that, yeah, WWE stay petty like that. And like, when you choose to write people off like that, it's like, great. You've told them that they're never welcome back here unless they're groveling on their hands or knees. You know, the way that Vince back in the day would love to make a big show of like, I can forgive anyone. I can work with anyone. Look at the traps, the definition. But then he would bring you in, and as you've said multiple times before on this show, Jeff, he'd either trying to re-sign you or bring you back. Oh, it's going to be so perfect. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be beautiful with candles. We're going to have a nice steak dinner. And then here, put on this dog suit. You're the dog man now. You got 6 weeks of wrestling Dolph Ziggler over and over again, and you're going to lose every time.
WWE is great at whining and dining you when you feel mm-hmm. hurt, and they know what they do is they find what you need. Mm-hmm. You ever had like those emotionally manipulative type people in your life where, you know, you go, I know what your weak spot is. What you want is mm-hmm. validation.
Yeah.
And they're going to tell you, you're going to get validation. And then they start insulting you a little bit. Like as soon as you sign the contract, oh, well, what I want vignettes and stuff to help me build. Okay, we'll give you vignettes. Cool. Uh-huh. Just sign the deal.
Pick the deal, director.
And everything will be okay. Yeah. It'll be okay. Don't sign the deal. All right, you're jobbing to Zack Ryder this yes. week or whatever.
Yeah, it's the 12-year-old boy from the John Mulaney bit. He was like, you know, no one's more vicious than a 12-year-old boy. He's like, oh, look at this guy. He's got feminine hips. No, how did you know that's the one thing I'm sensible about? How did you know? Right. So to me, doing the right moral and ethical thing is just the right thing to do, as you and I, you know, agree on like 99.9% of the time on all that stuff. But also, I just believe it's good business. Kicking her down on the, for what? For 15 grand, for 25 grand. Aren't you TKO? This is nothing for you. Spend that on lunch this month just for your top executives. Give it to her. Maybe she has something. Maybe she doesn't. It's worth kicking the tires on for a couple more years. There are people that haven't progressed as much as her who get pushed harder than her, not to do whataboutisms, but there's been precedent set. And then if she says no, then to be petty about it and kick her out the door, it's like, well, do you just set talent on fire then? Like, what's the purpose of here?
I would do that, but I think my thing isn't about the money here. I think my mm-hmm. thing is about the going away. Number one, she went on social media to explain it. I went, that's a mistake. Don't do that.
No, yeah, leave some mystery.
My fans need to know. No, we don't need to know every waking thought that people have on social media. We don't.
Yeah.
But the other thing was just I don't know if they had planned on her or not. Maybe they just wrote her out on TV and then kind of gave JC and Fallon the Iggy about, hey, and say she was the weak link and wasn't ever working.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that to me feels, look, if you're going to write a character off, write a character off.
I think
this happened with, who was it? The guy that played Mr. Terrific in the last Superman movie was written off Justified because he wanted to go do this TV show or something like that. They just shotgunned him in the chest. Just kind of like, oh, the whole story's kind of forgotten. It's like, moving on. And you're just kind of like, you know what? We know
who's
petty.
Who was he on Justified?
He was in that season where Michael Rapaport was the bad guy, and he was the Cajun crocodile.
There it is.
Ego.
Michael Rapaport, starring as Michael Rapaport and everything.
Yes. He's a Southern Cajun guy with a New York Jewish accent. It's so great, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, the hardest I've ever laughed at anything Michael Rapaport has done is when they made the Michael Rapaport show. I was like, There's a television network that knows what his range is.
Oh, come on. School Days is where you should have laughed at him the hardest.
No, I'm serious. I always like to put some positive with some negative, because that's who I am now. I will say that Michael Rapaport in Higher Learning is fantastic. He is out. He is unbelievably, incredibly good in that movie. The movie Higher Learning has its flaws, to be certain, but his performance, along with Cole Hauser, is magnifique in that movie.
I am True Romance, Michael Rapaport. I think he's phenomenal as a.
Yeah, but he's being very Michael Rapaport there.
Yes,
right?
He is.
He's good. Big fan too. We'll give him big fan. All right, moving
big
on.
Big fan. This week, AEW applied for two new bacon-related trademarks: AEW Bacon Brawl and Bacon Brawl. Mookie not available for comment, but I'm figuring this is cross promotion. Get paid.
Yeah, what could it possibly be? I mean, I understand Shark Week because then I go, okay, one to one. I know what a Warner Brothers Discovery crossover looks like. Oh, right, Discovery Channel Shark Week, AEW. Right. Let's put them up in
Jimmy
the Shark
Dean,
cage.
It's either Jimmy Dean or Oscar Mayer, right? Or is it some like low level bacon turkey bacon?
But what I feel like if they're putting in for a thing like that, it's not just a straight up like product placement. It has to be another Warner Brothers Discovery, you know, IP, right? Like, if you're going to go through all the trouble, because you could just call it Bacon Week if it's a one-off from Hormel. Like, who gives a shit? But I thought you'd only have to like
impractical jokers at the Bacon Factory.
No, my nemesis, the impractical jokers.
Oh, are they? Do you want to expound on that?
No,
or do you just
it's
find
just
them terrible.
No, it's not true. It's just a joke because like. We had for a long time, so my group, Dr. God, as you know, the five of us, my comedy collective, we for a long time had a deal with True TV where we were trying to make our show that eventually ended up being a Warner Brothers Discovery pilot, so to speak. Not so to speak, it was true. We did it with TBS. We did it with Lillard. It didn't get picked up, whatever. But we had a long, long, long back and forth with True TV. So it just kind of became a running joke in the writer's room with us and also with our agent at the agency that was repping us for this specific gig, where it's just like, how many episodes do the Impractical Jokers get before we get a chance? Oh, sure. Sure. They'll screw us on the budget for that. But God forbid should the Impractical Jokers not have 1,000 bananas for this sketch. Like, it was just a shorthand. And so now it's almost Pavlovian when someone mentions the Impractical Jokers. I'm like, no, I'm like the monarch to Dr. Venture. Ah. I dream about pissing on the Impractical Jokers. So, like, good on them. What are they on, season 19 now?
Right? I have a coworker who loved them. It's like, have you ever met them? It's like, no.
You have a coworker that spends an inordinate amount of time staring at a TV with its volume off in a sports bar on a Friday night, because that's when I've seen the most Impractical Jokers episodes of my life.
Doctor's offices is where I go.
Yes, because it's visual, right? You can turn off the sound. It's the Conan O'Brien thing. Like, you turn off the sound, it still works as jokes.
It's non-offensive. You can turn it on. People watch while they're waiting for their physical or their colonoscopy.
And I will say, you know what? They legitimately seem to be enjoying each other. Yes. They seem to having a good time, and they like each other. And God forbid should something be on the TV of friends that like each other. Unlike WWE, where everyone has to hate each other. There are no friendships.
On social media, Kylie Rae announced she is once again pregnant. Mazel, ooh, mazel, good things. Go forth and multiply. I am pro-family.
No.
But I would like to uh-huh. bring this up with Kylie. And I love her to death, and I think she should be a millionaire many times over.
Sam, but careful.
Yes, I know, and I'm very sad that the AEW fell through.
Uh-huh.
She just reached her apex in this Evolve thing that they're doing down there. Now, I don't know if they ever had plans to bring her up to the main roster or even to NXT. She had been to main event. I think they can't. I don't think they can fire her now because she's pregnant. I think that's illegal.
No. Just ask Mrs. Maria Bennett, right?
That's true. But I would not expect her to be used when she comes back again. This is something that unfortunately WWE gets a little bit petty about at times.
I mean, what did we just talk about? What would have been worse if Jasmine Nixon said yes to the contract but then got it pregnant? You know, like,
yeah.
They'd be butthurt about that. You know, people live their lives. Things happen. Good on her. Good for her.
No, I am. Yeah. Look, you want a big family, go for it. It's also one of those things where I'm also like, time to go look into accounting versus being an on the road wrestling performer.
Yeah. it's just so sad because, you know, pro wrestling does, even, you know, obviously lots of you have a window, and the window is a lot wider than it used to be. And it's a lot wider than, especially say something like the NFL, you know, not for long is how they reach that.
thank you, Jerry Glanville.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, no, the average NFL career is 2.5 years. Everyone knows that, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But these are your prime earning years that you set up that legacy for later. Like, she is a wonderful person that from everyone I've heard from, she clearly, her gimmick is like who she is.
Yes.
She's going to make a lot of money. She can still go to WrestleCade. She can sign for years and years and years. Maybe she can come back and be a manager at some point and do that if she still has the itch. Or she could just be like Spike Dudley and be like, nah, I have my family. I did it for the years I did it. I just want to be at home with my kids now. Good honor.
Let me pause you real quick. Brian, more so than myself, is very intricated into the wrestling / improv crossover here in Los Angeles. So,
to be certain.
So for people who are going, well, what does he know about Kylie Rae, et cetera, et cetera? We talk.
Yeah.
And people talk to him, and it, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, some of those people in that we need to talk to again quickly. Looking at you, Jervis. Jervis got in a bit of his feels recently.
Yeah,
as
he tends to do, and I don't want to call him by his shoot name because I hate that, but it's like, man, I just, you know, he's struggled. He's been open about it. He's always talked about it on social media, how he struggled with that. And he
deleted it quickly. It's just, I saw it. I went, oh, you don't want to write that, brother.
Yeah. As somebody who's, you know, struggled with those kind of feelings throughout the years, I'm like, I always just wish him the best of health. But like going back to what Jeff said of like, yeah, like who's this guy? No, it's like, I'm kind of damned if I do, damned if I don't. If I name drop, that I'm a mark for myself, to use the parlance of our times. If I don't, there's a lot of people going, well, yeah, he's his improv comedy partner, but what the hell does he know? It's like, dude, I hang out with wrestlers every week, whether I want to or not. It's just part of my business now.
Yeah, because there's a wrestler acting corollary in here, where if you're not wrestling and signed full time, you're out here doing auditions and stuff.
I'm on a daily text thread with like 25 people on it. Some of them, you know, wrestler you've definitely heard of. So
yes,
I just don't want to out them.
Yeah, no, and I would never ask you to. So that'll do it for the news. Although I'm saving this last item for the Lazy River of Wrestling criticism because,
okay,
you are no longer on Elon Musk's X, correct?
That is correct.
Are you aware that there was a dust up in the past 24 to 48 hours concerning Gail Kim and Rhea?
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is, you know, we were going to talk about you and I are such huge fans of women's wrestling, and there's some issues in WWE and AEW that, you know, we had talked pregame about putting back and forth. And a long time ago, when she and TNA split, we always said, hey, man, Tony should speed run that Brinks truck and back it up to the back of Gail Kim's house. And I guess that's not going to happen now. I 100% know what's going on. And woof. Oh, this anytime you're going to send an email, anytime you're going to send a tweet, anything, wait 24 hours. If you still feel that way, send it. If you don't.
Okay. We may be on opposite sides of this just a little bit, And I think
everyone's out of pocket. Hey, I'm talking a lot about a stuff that is at best 10 years out of date, even though kudos mentioning that, admitting up top, I haven't seen it in a long time. And the other one immediately, what did we talk about before? Just escalating it through the roof. Just take it from 0 to 1,000. I'm on everybody with this one.
So this conversation started because A24 has a hardcore, I guess, deathmatch wrestling documentary that somebody over at A24 is working on. And Gail Kim said, I'm not a fan of that style of wrestling.
Which is fine. Many people have said that.
The A24 people were not a fan of that. but it got into conversation.
That's how documentaries work. If you ask or you don't like it, don't put it in the film. Who cares?
Yes. Yes. And Jim Cornette has entered the chat.
No, not Corny.
And agreed with Gail Kim.
Shocker.
Gail, Gail Kim says thank you, blah, blah, blah. And then wrestling fans, being who they are, go after Gail Kim. Hey, do you know what Jim Cornette said about Riho? Interior Day Twitter.
Interior basement hyphen
no, no,
day.
No, 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 no. I'm reading Gail Kim's tweets.
Oh, got it. Got it. Go for it.
I will say, and I haven't watched AEW in a very long time, but when I did watch Riho, and nothing against her at all, because I am the biggest supporter of all women who want to make it in this business, mm-hmm. but I did feel uncomfortable watching her because the camera shots would go up her skirt, and she was always dressed like a very little girl, and it felt improper.
Unquote. Yeah, this just to save you, I am up to speed. I watch you and Paul on Wednesdays. Caught up on all the information. Just so you don't feel the need to have to like. If there's new stuff from last night to today, by all means, share it. But
well, but that's a different network and different listener base. So
copy.
She also said, "I am also into very believable wrestling. Not everyone is, especially nowadays. And it was very hard for me to believe a little girl that was being portrayed of that size was fighting the women they had in that division. Now, at the time, she was. This is me. Editorial. Uh-huh. She was fighting people like Nyla Rose."
Yeah, which very similar to Awesome Kong and Gail Kim, perhaps. Maybe that's sort of David and Goliath. Oh, who? Go on.
To put it into context, I find Io, Mia, Asuka, Kairi, and Lei Ying to be more believable, and I don't feel uncomfortable watching. In response to a fan who wrote that Rio is the same size as WWE's AJ Lee, Kim responded, "Okay, I'm not taking anything away from her talent." True. Uh-huh. I'm talking about what I saw years ago and what made me feel uncomfortable. She looked like a very young girl in a frilly skirt, and the cameraman was up her ass. It just felt appropriate to me. Kim concluded her comments on Rio by writing, "I'm not going to comment on the Rio thing again. I have stated my opinion." It was a four-part tweet, so you can look at that again. If you don't understand what I was saying, it was more about her size. It was a combination. It was more than about her size. It was a combination of things I was asked about, and I answered. Enter Kenneth Leroy Jenkins.
Hadouken.
And Kenny commented on how this was poor form because, hey, do you know that Rio has gotten death threats and whatnot.
That's what I mean, like just escalating it out of nowhere up the yazoo, man.
And then also added this on for the stinger. Another day and another quote unquote legend doing the splits on it for the yearly TKO gift basket. Kim responded to Omega's post writing, quote, "If you're trying to beat around the bush and misinterpret things like the rest of the Yahoos, let me clarify that you are wrong. I will state my opinion and then I will let you go to town on me, perhaps." I
please,
think you know
please,
what
please.
I'm going to say.
Yes, sir.
There are three issues here. One, I don't think Gail Kim was wrong on the criticism of the outfits or the style. We talked about this with a sports type presentation. This isn't Japan, and yes, you can honor the Joshi legacy. Uh-huh. I think there's a point with the dress and the frilly skirt in the main event. If you're a character like Yuka Sakazaki, who's always going to be kind of mid card, you can do the genie thing, and that's appropriate and stuff like that. I also view Gail Kim's opinion on Riho's offense as coming from being trained from that generation that you need to lay it in to make it believable. I didn't view it as, oh, she works too light or she's doing too many flippy doos or whatever. It's just, hey, when you punch somebody, I want to see you punch somebody. Learn how to throw a punch kind of a thing. I did not view this as criticism of Riho. In terms of she's attacking her, and there's a lot of people in especially the AEW fandom and really, really hardcore WWE types who any critique is an attack and we must circle the wagons and how dare you, and you're just trying to bring AEW down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Number two, I will give Gail Kim this part of the benefit of the doubt, and you and I are both very aware of this. There's a difference between being a peer and giving an opinion as a coach/director. And the two mindsets are different. When you are a peer, you are almost required to never say anything critical of your peer. What do you think of Rio? Oh, she's great. She's wonderful. I'm just so glad that the women of today are following the legacy that we started. Pure, neutral, whatever. When you're a coach, you're watching with a bit of a critical eye. What can they do to improve, et cetera, et cetera. I think a lot of Gail's coaching came out in this thing, and people took it as bad faith. And people wanted her to say, as a peer of Riho, she's great. Next question. Type of a thing. The third thing is Gail Kim basically quit WWE. It might have been over her treatment, or might have been over the treatment of women. During a battle royal on live TV, she just walked out, said, I'm not going to be doing this anymore.
Famously.
Kenny Omega bit over his skis on this one, to me. I get that this was, and I will give Kenny the benefit of the doubt that this was knee-jerk protectionism of his very good friend Riho. I also think a lot of this is because people are tying the Gail Kim comments to Jim Cornette and his fan base, and Jim Cornette's problem, as we say on this show, is Jim Cornette has a point, and he says it in the worst possible way possible, and it incites people who also have really bad ways of phrasing things and bad ways of phrasing his thing. And Jim Cornette has some horrible, horrible positions on a lot of different things. But when he's talking wrestling, he can often make a point that's valid just in the very wrong way. Mm-hmm. And now I yield the floor to you to say why I am wrong.
Actually not. I agree with just about all of that. Sorry if those of you who are expecting sparks to fly.
Because
it's very famous. Famously, yeah, she quit in the middle of that battle royale and just, you know, laid down, rolled out of the ring, and just walked off. You can see, you know, the bottom left hand corner, and, you know, famously went back through the curtain, was like, I'm out of here, screw you guys. So yeah, to say like, oh, someone just trying to get a TKO basket, it's like, if she wanted to go back, she could have gone back. She could have gone back years ago. She made choices that were personally and professionally important to her to not do that. I do agree with you that it is the idea of like a coach, but as a coach or a director, as we all know, somebody got to ask you. Riho wasn't asking her. And so when she was asked her opinion, we also have a responsibility as a coach and director and say, you know what? It's not for me, but it's a big tent. There's all kinds of, the great thing about wrestling is there's something for everybody and all that. I was uncomfortable with that, but let me know. I admit that I haven't watched it in a long time. That could be different now, and I'll try and catch out a few matches going forward. And then there would have probably been no problem. But again, that's not how not everybody is PR trained within an inch of their life. They're just speaking off the cuff. Something's going to happen. Yeah. And my problem is when you get into the social media thing where you're immediately like doing this and then it just goes out into the universe, that like it is also incumbent upon a coach, someone who is a position of leadership, who is probably going to be in a position of leadership for all time, and someone, last time I checked, who is an executive vice president. I mean, what people can argue back and forth of whether that's a glamour title or not. It doesn't matter. It says vice president for a company that you work for. Both of you could probably have just said, I'm going to wait 24 hours on this. And if I'm still mad about it, I'm going to go do something about it. Also, you could have reached out independently of like, hey, before I put you on blast, what do you think? To say that Gail Kim and Kenny Omega aren't separated by at best a half degree of Kevin Bacon, they absolutely could have gotten on the horn at any time. And honestly, it probably would have felt better for Kenny to be like, now I have the real Gail Kim FaceTime and I'm mother effing her to her face.
But wait a second. Now we need AEW Kevin Bacon Brawl. And then
Kevin Bacon Brawl. There it is. Trademark. Whoever is, Hawkins and I will take a low six figures deal a piece to give you back the Kevin Bacon Brawl. So it just, to that, it's, if you're going to be in positions of leadership, it's like, well, then people are looking to you for how they should react.
Yeah.
When I'm on set and I'm directing feature film and I'm going crazy and yelling at people, then everybody below me thinks that's how you have to act to get results. But if I'm going, hey man, it's a problem, it gets solved, we're behind about 10 minutes, but I believe that we're going to make that up later. Let's try and find the best way. Then that's how they're going to act. I tell my improv students all the time when they ask me about, specifically if they're asking me about a different style of improv that I'm known for, or even a different teacher, right? You and I have both had that conversation with people who are like, hey, can you give me notes on this? I'm like, what does your coach say? You have a coach. I'm not going to backdoor your coach. What are their notes? You should probably listen to them do that. But if someone asks me about someone in the universe, I go, in our universe, the way that they are both in the wrestling universe. You don't criticize each other. What I always say is to the person, I go, all right, what there are three answers to that question. Do you want the right answer? Do you want the real answer? Or do you want the raw answer? And you only get to have one. You don't get to have like, and then if I'm going to be raw with you right now, then I'm going to trust that you're not going to go and snitch behind my back and start something with that person. Certainly not tag me on social media, the lazy man snitch, right? Absolutely not. So that's what I got. I think you and I agree on most of that, but I feel like both of them.
You're convincing me to moderate a point that I had about the criticism, though, because
okay.
I was reacting a lot because God knows on the board on Figure 4W you get some of the dumbest people alive. No offense. You know that a moderator saying that? Yes, you do. But
yes.
not just there, but on Twitter. Twitter more so than the board. The board
for sure
actually does, but they immediately jump to bad faith and Gail Kim's a grifter. And I just
yeah.
like, no.
Never.
Don't do that. But and like your words and your position are hurtful and stuff like that. I go, I don't think she saw it that way, so let's not go there quite yet, and she doesn't have a position of power. She's just unemployed and has money and time to spend on social media to say
yeah.
these things, kind of a
the
thing.
The biggest issue that she has, if you take two steps back again, which is why it's great to wait 24 hours before you jump into a thing or fire off some words that you can't take back once it's into the ether. If you had just taken a step back and been like, my issue is I don't like the way she's being booked and I don't like the way she's being objectified.
Yes.
Not things that Rio herself are doing. And yes, you and I agree with the idea of like Joshi is a different culture, but it's like, hey, if I went to Mexico, I'd have to learn, you know, I should probably, if I, or how about this? If I went to France and I wanted to make a movie in France, I would have to keep in mind that there's a certain workflow that goes there. I can't just come in like, we're going to do things like we all be doing in America. I can still be an American. I can still tell a narrative or a story, but working in an established workflow that's been around for 100 years. So yeah, at first when AEW and AEW Dynamite first started, they threw a lot of things at the wall. Maybe Joshi's will work over here. Let's put Rio out there. Let's push her. Let's see if that. They work with Chima and all those Chinese acrobatic guys. Let's see if that works, right? Like, they were throwing a lot of things. 5-6 years in, because you guys are going to do, it's going to be the 6th anniversary next week, right? Is that it for
yeah.
AEW Dynamite? Yeah, 6-year yeah. anniversary. 6-year anniversary of AEW Dynamite. Shit has changed. If it worked, it would have worked. And yeah, Rio is still over. They have a lot of people in the audience that still like her. My issue is I don't think the booking is doing her any favors when you send her out there with a metal pole, with a metal rod to beat people, and you never have her hit anybody with the metal rod because you can see just with her running that it's going to snap her wrist. I don't think she can't get over. You look at any Japanese fighting game, almost always the most overpowered ones are the tiny girls, the Chun-Lis. So I can
yeah.
see a world where there's booking where you can do that or do a David and Goliath sort of thing where Rhea just won't step down. My only criticism of Rhea has always been, stop with the 619. You can't do it. You can't do it. You are squishing.
Hold on. How many bumps have you taken, Brian?
More than I need to, but that's the thing.
Yeah, that's true.
But even if it was zero, after Rio hits me with a 619, I've done exactly zero still. She pulls her knees up into her chest and kind of like lazily swings in. It doesn't, I'm not saying you have to lay it in, but it doesn't also look like you're hitting them. Just do a different part. Someone needs to come in. So whoever's agenting that shit should come in and be like, hey, it's not working. It looks like trash on camera. Let's do something else for you. The crossbody, as you've said before, when the person kicks their leg out.
Yeah.
Money. Money. Love it.
I'm reminded after you talked about coaching of my reputation around the bar where it's like, don't ask Hawkins what he thought of your show because he'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yep. And I go, I yep. probably should have been more gracious at times, but
no. They asked, and they knew. They knew at that point.
No, around. they wanted to hear you were great. You're great. Okay,
nah.
Take your drink.
I had a guy say that once about, you know, so Jeff and I have a mentor by the name of Miles Stroth. We studied under him. He's a good friend of ours. We've done shows with him a lot. Very important man to us. And I remember one time someone saying, like, it'd just be really great if Miles came to our show and get, you know, maybe gave us a pat on the shoulder and then a attaboy. And I was like, have you met the man?
Miles. Well, that,
when?
I remember we came off of a show once and his first words were, well, that sucked.
Yes. And he wasn't wrong. And he was being kind to us because he was like, hey, I'm not gonna, you can trust that I'm never gonna blow smoke up your ass.
Forget the show. You'll have another one next week. Yeah. Don't worry about it. But that one sucked. Okay, you got that one out of your system type of
and bought it. Yeah. I think he even bought us a round, or that might have been a different show. It was like, took the liberty of buying you your first round. it was that bad.
Here you go, mourners. Have a drink, because that one sucked.
Cheers. Everybody can just calm down. Just, if it's good enough, just sleep on it. I don't think like you said earlier, like not everyone needs to weigh in on everything. And I don't think us as a species over the hundreds of thousands of years of human evolution have ever said, you know, it'd be great if we were constantly looking at a body of water in our own reflection. It'd be great if we had this little thing in our hands that we constantly have a rear facing camera and just look at ourselves all day and put every single thought we've ever had about anything immediately out to the internet. For what purpose? To what end? I don't need to meet every village idiot that exists in every village everywhere all at once. Don't make yourself a village idiot. Sit on it. Just sit on it.
Quick thoughts about the two PLEs over the weekend. I did get a chance to finally watch them on the elliptical.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Andreas Hale took a lot of heat this week. Because he on ESPN's own site gave WrestlePalooza a C.
Yeah, I read it.
I would give All Out a C+, B-. I think there were two different issues. One was WWE decided to give you a lot of story and not a lot of wrestling, which I don't think was the way to debut on ESPN. But man, that EO and Stephanie Vaquer match was pretty great. And then All Out, AEW does its thing where it's 5 to 6 hours of wrestling and two of them are really good. Uh-huh. And the rest is kind of, it's there. It was okay. People trying to kind of give themselves up of that. This is the first time I really hated a tag team ladder match in any ways. I really did not like that match because it was just like, we're doing dumb things instead of going for the titles. And even Danielson's mentioning that on commentary the entire time.
Saw that.
I enjoyed FTR versus Edge and Cope, or Cope and Christian, quite a bit. But yes, it was a story match more than anything. You got your work rate special in the main event of Kyle Fletcher and Hangman Page, which was very, very good. I liked Riho and Mercedes. I did. I think Mercedes is just such a phenomenon, and she should be.
And they're good. And they're a good pair too, because of the things that were just in question about whether it's believable, all that. Mercedes is of a similar size and build, and also they both have great auras and great charisma, and it plays off each other, so they're not like sort of overlapping or stepping on each other's butts. But also Mercedes will kill herself for anyone and will sell like a son of a bitch, and so selling Rio's stuff there plays more in that way, which I think is really, really cool for everybody.
She can also do that terrible finisher that she's insistent on doing on Riho and be able to lift her up and do it.
because she's a sack of groceries. She could just flip her around. It looks like $1 million when you try and do it to what was the first time when she did it in New Japan? Who she debuted that move against?
Was it Julia? It was Kyrie.
Kyrie Sane, right. Poor Kyrie, could she just stop getting dropped on her head? Does she just have a magnet in the back of her skull?
No wonder she's crying on Raw. She's going to get dropped on her head again, by somebody.
Yeah, as I was telling you off screen, so for those of you watching, like, this era is sort of, I watched All In, and I enjoyed it immensely, and we're paid, this is sort
and,
of my...
And he's, not, and he's not being mistaken. He meant All In.
I meant All In. All In and All Out should be back-to-back. It should be Saturday and Sunday. It makes no sense to do something and then a month later to say, oops, all berries, we're not in. We are, in fact, out. We are, in fact, out now. And I feel like, but that's a different story. This is sort of, we talk about this as wrestling silly season, where we know we're going to holidays. We're not written, maybe Survivor Series on this one hand, on the WWE verse, maybe this stuff over here. I sort of take this season as a way to like sort of tap out for a second. I still follow everything. I'm up to speed on everybody. I still watch, I watch you guys. I'll watch,
you too.
Yeah. I'll watch specific matches, but also, I'll check in. I'll watch all of SRS and stuff on YouTube. I'll even watch the hump, right? Because I like the back and forth of the questions. But I don't really go all in because I know that, pun not intended, because I know that this stuff isn't going to matter yet.
Right.
It's not going to matter yet until we get into the new year, where we've sort of rebooted the television season. And since Jeff and I are both television writers who have a history in this stuff, the stuff that drives me crazy right now is that we talked about this before, WWE and AEW. It's so funny that WrestlePalooza and All Out were the same day, because it was so nice to watch both of the things that they have flawed going right in front of them. So yeah, when Bryan Danielson was like, why is Bandido not just turning around? I think Brian from Wrestling Observer said the same thing. He's like, you can just turn around and grab the belt, and now you're the champion. Why are you so high up on a belt, on a ladder, to do this bit? It has to be about the purpose. The goal is to get the belt. So if you're there by the belts, grab the belts. I'd be next to Brian Danielson losing my shit, because it's narratively inconsistent.
Yes.
Right. All this stuff about AEW, like good matches. Well, an action movie with great stunts and great car chases, but that don't have any purpose of where the chase is happening and who's chasing who, won't matter. I don't say you have to go full on WWE in the way that they do their storytelling.
I loved John Woo as a kid.
But like, at least for some, like, I don't think anyone's out there saying that Crank and Crank 2 are the greatest action movies of all time. I'm not saying it has to be Die Hard, where he's trying to save his wife. I'm not saying it has to be Lethal Weapon, where there's this huge conspiracy and will they or won't they? Will these two tag team partners who've been thrown together get along with Roger Murtaugh and Martin Riggs? But in Crank, it's a simple thing of like, if you don't do this car chase, you will die from a heart attack because you've been poisoned. And we all go, great. AEW doesn't even do that. I'm glad that Hangman and Kyle Fletcher had a banger match. I love everything about Kyle Fletcher except his gear. And that's just me. That's a personal thing. It doesn't mean I'm right. But it's set him up to like, hey, in a couple of years, I could probably be your champion. So I'm like, okay. Then why did we have this match? Is there no one else that wants the championship right now?
Who are you to doubt Lee Moriarty?
Dude, God bless him. I love him. I'm higher on Lee Moriarty than a bunch of people. I love his stuff. I love that he makes his own gear. I love the way the gear works. I love that it's half Bruce Lee, half sort of like, just get that guy a mouthpiece and just have him go out there stuff. But yeah, he was gone for forever, and they brought him out in Pittsburgh. To what? As a troll? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So does this go into your opposite sides of the same
yeah.
coin theory? So go in. I want to hear yours, yeah. and then I'll tell you mine, and we'll figure out if we're on the same wavelength.
Right now, yeah. Right now, AEW and WWE have sort of, we're not so different, you and I, type of issues. I think. And this comes from a storytelling and a narrative thing. Yes, I'm not a pro wrestler. Yeah, I don't take bumps. I've never been worked in the business. That is not what I'm saying to tell these extremely talented, experienced veteran professionals what to do. But when it comes to talk about storytelling or television writing or narrative structure, yeah, I've been doing that for 25 years. 30, if you want to include film school. I know what I'm talking about here. And the issues are with AEW has all these great talent, but they're missing a lot of it right now. And so their best laid plans are gone. They have so many people. Thank God Orange Cassidy came back, because my big issue for the last year of AEW is no one looks like they're having fun anymore. Everything seems so hard and so labored, even the comedy segments. I'm not saying it's flop sweat, but they're moist, right? So they have, so they got a lot of injuries right now, but a lot of good work. So they don't know how to like just pivot and like, ride someone. Tell a believable story.
Except for Harley Cameron, who looks like she's having a blast in no matter what segment she does.
Yeah, but she's bulletproof. And like you said, unlike Mariah May, unfortunately, she's gonna eventually go to NXT and make $1 billion in merchandising. She's money for that promotion, and good for her. Make that money, kid. right? But they will not tell simple stories. A lot of times when I watch AEW, I'm like, okay, this is a personal thing I came up with that I use in my writing, but also I use it with all the pro wrestling shows that I do. Every wrestling character has to be about one of five things: family and friendship, fame, fortune, fun, or F everyone. If your character isn't about one of those five things and it's a goal towards it, then I can't follow it. I don't know what the story is. I don't know what your super objective in your spine is. Real quick, the opposite with W, and then I'll let you jump in for sure. The opposite with WWE is they have never been more lousy with talent. They have so much talent that they can run back the same squash match between a guy on his last legs and a guy that should not effing be back in the company. I just celebrated my 10-year anniversary with my girlfriend. I was a year away from breaking up with my ex-girlfriend the last time that Brock Lesnar took John Cena to Suplex City and squashed him in 4 minutes. But and by we by the way, let's we remind everybody, that was a match that back in 2014 SummerSlam, John Cena wasn't supposed to be in. That was supposed to be Daniel Bryan. And then they just Daniel Bryan either got injured with a concussion or there was some sort of thing about his, I can't remember what specifically was. They slotted Cena in and they said, ah, fuck it, let's just keep it. Right? So you've got all this talent there, and they refuse to tell any stories. The DQ finishes. It's corporate. They're so top heavy with executives. I mean, Hunter's an old school guy. He started in WCW. He likes a lot of the stuff that we do. You think he constantly wants to have DQ finishes, 50-50 booking, and all that? It's certainly not what he did in NXT Black and Gold. You saw what that guy likes. So you got one that has a lot of talent and have never been more flush and refuses to do anything interesting. And then you have a different one that's missing talent right now and doesn't feel like they can do anything interesting because they're just waiting for everybody to get back and do the thing they're not. Pivot, improvise, Tony. Big bicep PK.
All right.
Pivot, improvise.
Two things about what you said there, and then I'm going to
Yeah.
give you my opposite sides of the coin
Please.
theory, which is different. Number one, one of the issues with me with Kyle Fletcher and his story was he's not ready for the world title. Well, then why does he have the TNT title? That just drove me nuts. It's like, oh,
Well, we're
we're not discussing the actual things that a world champion has to do that Kyle Fletcher doesn't have. No, it's just you're not ready, kid. And everybody's just kind of going, for what? And then everybody
we're
makes up
old school
stories in their
guys.
head.
We're old school guys. We came up in the day that the guy that had the television title was the number one contender to the guy that had the world title. Otherwise, what does that fucking belt mean anything, right? Sorry about the F bombs. But yeah, I'm with you on that, but I see how a lot of other people will be like, no, the TNT title, mid-card titles are different. You are good. You are good. You're just not good enough.
And
Okay.
as for Brock, you remember this happened a couple times. Every time we'd go on a flight to a festival or something, I'd get the airline magazine and I'd turn it to that one ad with that 70-year-old doctor who is just jacked to the gills.
Eugenics, baby.
That is Brock Lesnar right now.
Yeah. Him and Frank Thomas and the women will like it too, right? Doug Flutie and all that. Yeah, before Doug Flutie and Frank Thomas, it was that old white guy just swollen with water weight in
Who's a
the back of the flight.
bodybuilder, but he's saying, yes, come to this clinic and we'll pump you full of HGH for
Ooh.
$3,000 a shot or
Yeah.
something like that.
Yeah, well,
I come with the
at least he's
I
not
couldn't think of
turning
the name
purple
of it.
anymore. Yeah. It's eugenics. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Eugenics. No, it's not. That wasn't
With
the
an
name.
X.
Oh,
Oh,
jeez.
I think it was like Nutrigenics or something like
Oh
that. It was
no.
just,
The pills are, but this stuff was like a
yeah.
clinic that you had to go to an actual doctor, and it was like
Yeah.
biometrics or something like that. It's the same as it was like on the opposite page of that one piece of exercise equipment that they said you only have to do this 3 minutes a day and you'll be jacked. It's like a bike connected to a elliptical, connected to like a sit-up machine or something like that you had to pay $30,000 for it and was ridiculous.
Yeah, it feels like a Lionel P. Hutz thing where it's like, ah, it's not illegal, but it's not legal. Right?
My opposite side of the coin theory, and it's just
Mm-hmm.
the corporate attitudes between the two companies. WWE has melodrama and stakes for crap that doesn't have stakes up the yazoo. It knows that it's a personality-driven business to the point where it almost gets angering the number of promos that people are cutting mid-match. Stop. I used to call this Sasha Banksing, but now it's everybody does it. Everybody cuts, like Seth Rollins does it all the time. And I actually like Seth Rollins.
I mean, this is a compliment. And sincerely mean it because you mentioned they've raised huge stakes about the tiniest things. I think they pulled it off flawlessly. But do you think that Ring of Honor, Summer of Punk, CM Punk would be like, hey, 15, 20 years from now, you're going to be doing something about a friendship bracelet. And it's going to be the height of your year. It's going to be the best program you've been in all year. He would have fed you to Samoa Joe. He would have killed you. Right. Keep going.
My issue with AEW is the lack of personality and the lack of heat and the lack of stakes in service of getting the snowflake rating from people who watch, people who rate matches, people who want to talk about the end of the year match of the year types. So you have Hangman Page getting brainbustered through a table 3 days before a big title match. You don't have the Callis family going 19 like Ole in 1987 going, we're going to take Dusty Rhodes out of wrestling, whatever. We don't have them, you know, mustache twirling at whatnot. And Hangman Page, oh, they mentioned the neck on commentary, but it can't be a part of the match because we don't want to limit what these two guys can do to have a banger.
So we have This Is Awesome and, you know, both these guys and all
like
that stuff.
Everybody's gimmick is I'm a good wrestler. And I'm all right, great. So you're competent at your job.
Which is why there's something like, you know, because, you know, he just came back. Which is why something like the postmodernist take that is the gimmick of Orange Cassidy comes from the guy that was playing Fire Ant and saying back in the Chikara days going, you know what, I can do high-flying stuff, but I'm never going to do the most high-flyingest stuff, right? I'm going to do that, like, what can you do? Like, oh, I'm going to go the opposite route. Necessity is the mother of invention. If everyone is high, that's, I mean, how many times have you said that on this channel? If WWE is, if everyone is giants, then you nobody is giants. If everyone is aerial assassins, you have zero aerial assassins. It's the same problem. It's just a different combination.
And Tony thinks, I put Lee Moriarty and Hangman Adam Page out there to have a 20-minute. 3¾-star, maybe 4-star match.
Mm-hmm.
And I get over on commentary that Lee Moriarty is a really good wrestler. And I do a video package that he's a really good wrestler. Then everybody will start to think he's a really good wrestler and he'll become a star.
No, that's telling, not showing. You have to show me weeks leading up to that.
But not in the ring. It's one of these things where it's like we have eschewed the things that made territory wrestling and old school, and even up to the Attitude Era, if we want to go that far up. It wasn't about the matches. It was about the personalities and the angles and who's fighting who and why does somebody hate somebody here, et cetera, et cetera. And Tony came up in the time of compilation tapes and best of things. And so when he watches those things and super indies, and the indies don't teach you personality.
They don't have to.
Teach you barricade slapping, This Is Awesome, high spots and things like that.
Battle Los Angeles, if to make it different, throw in a 2-day tournament. We're gonna have another tournament for this place isn't lousy enough with belts, and now we're gonna have tag team belts for the gals when there's no tag teams.
Right.
Okay.
And so they'll get over with their wrestling and we'll figure out how to make them stars later. And it's just like 2 hours, and I get, look, doing things in front of an arena is tough because if you're doing promos in an arena, you got the crowd to deal with as opposed to doing backstage and stuff like that. But I have also posited that most American fans, and yes, you can call them stupid American fans and you need to be trained to like New Japan and stuff like that, don't really watch the week to week for the wrestling. They watch the pay-per-views for the wrestling. They watch the week to week for the build. And WWE has billed in spades, and AEW goes, all right, an hour and a half before the show, who do I have backstage I can throw a real banger on? Call it a $500,000 8-man all-star tag match where only three of the people are really stars and make it seem like a big deal.
Yeah, to me, it's just like, it is, this is never popular when I say it. It's a television show first and foremost.
Yes, I
So
yes.
you cannot tell people that they're dumb Americans and they don't get it and all that. No, your goal is to have people be as passionate about pro wrestling, I almost said improv, pro wrestling as you are. Their goal is to have a fun night out. You can't call them dumb American fans that don't respect the art when they have been watching television. They know what American television are. They have been trained and understand how the kayfabe works of cold open, first act, second act, third act, tag, get me excited to watch the next episode. I feel like a pro wrestling television show. Every episode should be like a pilot. Your only goal is to get me to watch the next week. And if you're not doing those things, so take Lee Moriarty for a second there. If he wanted that, if he wanted to put him over, having Lee Moriarty for the first 6 weeks, no one's even saying the word Hangman Page to him. Hangman Page hasn't been saying anything to him. But he's got a trailer. Hey, remember how trailers and posters work to get people to see the stuff? He has a trailer. He's coming back. Oh, that is interesting. That's great, right? Then the next week he's got a an opening mid card match. Maybe he's part of a tag team. You're building up, so when you get to it, and then Hangman goes, "You know what? I've been around. I don't know who my next opponent is, but there's been a guy I've been watching right now. I'm really excited about." And that is Pittsburgh's own Lee Moriarty.
Lee
And then we all
Moriarty.
go,
Boom.
"Oh shit, that's right. He's been around. He's been doing this cool stuff." You cannot just show me one thing and be like, "I didn't know Lee Moriarty was from Pittsburgh until a different guy said it." Lee didn't even get to say that for himself. "You know, everyone, how I'm from Pittsburgh and I love it."
Yes.
Hangman is out there saying it. So it's all tell. It's no show.
Yes, the week before, here's where I used to hang out when I was a kid in Pittsburgh, blah blah blah. You know what? I don't get back to the city as much as I do, but this means a lot to me. I'm gonna have some family and friends in the audience, and
Yeah.
I'm looking to win this title. Okay, now I'm emotionally invested. I'm not just
Thank you.
technically invested, watching and looking around and taking my AEW notepad and go, what did you give that match that we can write in cage match or whatever? And I'm just like,
Yeah.
yes. And
That's
but this is all the stuff the sickos don't like about professional wrestling, which kills me at times.
Well, that's the thing. I don't engage with that. That's why I don't engage at all. If you just want to see sicko matches and you just want to see 5-star, 6-star, 7-star, because what does even matter now if it's star ratings, if we can just arbitrarily add stars when we feel like it, right? Not to get too deep in the woods on that. But my answer to them, they're like, "Well, then stop watching it on television and stop, or continue to watch it on television and stop complaining on the internet that you don't think it's getting enough ratings, enough eyeballs." They're not doing the thing that gets it. Cancel culture isn't real. People's like, you are allowed to say and do whatever you think is great art, but you're not allowed to have, you don't deserve a wide audience. Not everyone has to watch your shit. My movies and TV shows aren't for everybody. And I'm complaining that Age of Ultron made more money than Bloodsucking Bastards. I'm the asshole if I say that, right? Came out the same year. I think this stuff is better. All my horror film. Like, what are we talking about? Then just go watch it live. Or if you're going to watch it on TV, don't stop complaining that it's not getting what you think it is. Either figure out a machine to clone yourself 100 million times so it could be number one in the demo every week, or shut up.
Did you?
WWE doesn't have that problem because they also don't care. There's a big problem with WWE is that they're going to run into about 5, 10 years from now is that a combination of they make so much money that they don't have to like push anything, but also this is something I saw a football an English football fan, an older gentleman I think you and I would love having a pint with. He said he was complaining about how the bigger like they'll waste talent on young guys because they can always just buy a bigger player from another team, right? In the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And then he had this phrase that stuck with me and immediately made me think of WWE and to a larger part of the entertainment industry going right now. He goes, "The money, like, I wish I could remember explaining." He's like, "The money doesn't let the talent through." So since WWE doesn't have to worry about box office, it doesn't have to worry about ticket sales to be able to pay the people that they do, they can just throw whatever went out there and not really have to force themselves. And I think it's disrespectful to the fans to say, "Oh, WWE fans just slobber up whatever slop, Hunter throws out there for them." I'm like, no, I think they also are upset about it. Like you and me, we love professional wrestling. We desperately want it to be better. I think I mean, I'm biased because you're one of my best friends, but like, I always point to how like your criticism is never of like this isn't what I liked, or then you're like, you so desperately want to watch Raw or Dynamite or even Collision and be like, holy shit, yes, this is good. I want to watch more of this. You legitimately want it to be good, and so do I. So I, when I see that, that's the two sides of the coins. And then both companies have great, have never had better female rosters,
right?
And just and refuse
it's
to tell.
It's 1980s territory wrestling level talent.
Both
in the women's division, yes.
Both of them, and including TNA and some of the small, like GCW. Like, this is a great, we could have an insane, we talk about golden eras, we could have a platinum era of women's wrestling if you would just let them tell narratives that were family, friendship, fame, fortune, fun, F anyone. I'm fighting this person because this person cheated my friend out of a title, and now that person's in the hospital and can't defend themselves. I'm fighting family and friendship, like the same way that, you know, old homeboy just took all the women in TNA and said, "What if we did all these old wrestling angles from Memphis?"
Yeah,
just do them with the girls.
Dutch Mantel, yeah,
yeah, Dutch Mantel. If you're doing that, if everything is a callback and everything is just reboots of IP anyway, you're Warner Brothers. Just let them go steal Warner Brothers IP and do that. What WWE is what they're on now. Take a Netflix channel and do something with that. Something, man.
As opposed to this NXT, all women secretly hate each other and gossip about each other when they're in the locker room and stuff like that. It's so terrible.
Yeah, and now you have NXT, and then you have what, Evolve, I guess, is the next. It's double A ball.
Yes.
To the AAA ball that is, well, it evolves. That's where you can be doing stuff. The NBA tries out things of like, hey, what if we did no shot clock? Hey, what if we did European rules where there's no goaltending? Is there any innovation being happening in Evolve? Are you trying to let people try new stuff? Are you trying new storytelling that maybe you could move up to the main roster and do something with these gals that are killing themselves for you every? Thank God they're not being objectified and turning into sex symbols anymore and doing bra and panties matches. But that doesn't mean you replace it with nothing.
Yeah.
Just nothing.
I was going to bring that. Did you listen to Brian and Dave's Raw review this week?
Brian and Dave show up at just in the sweet spots of my TikTok feed. Every once in a while, the algorithm will send me just enough of Brian and Dave and go, that's a good point, and then I can move on.
Well, you'll appreciate this because you're the only one of my friends who would get this, is that it is such a straight absurd scene. And there was one happening this week on the review.
Oh, no.
Where Brian's playing straight man best he can, and he's just doing the rundown of what happened on the show, and he goes, Seth Rollins said he was the best wrestler in the world. Enter Dave. Yeah, but he's not. I mean, there are a lot of people who are out there wrestling, and he goes into this diatribe about Japan and the amount of talent that's elsewhere here and there and there, and I'm just waiting for the blow-up moment from Brian going, it's a TV show, Dave! They set a line!
He's a character.
He's a character.
Villains don't think they're villains. Of course he thinks that. But also there's a part of me that just wants Brian to go, that's the joke. Right?
Yes, that's true. But you can't do that with Dave because he takes everything so literally and you're just
But that's crazy because he's been doing it for so long. Do you not know what kayfabe is, man? This is not an interview with Seth Rollins for the Armenian, because he's getting an award from the Armenian Times and he's talking about his craft. It's not inside the actor studio. He's in the ring on stage with a microphone at a guy he kind of hates saying a thing that isn't true.
Okay,
he's a bad guy.
Yeah, we're not going to do a blow-by-blow. I have some quick hits of the shows,
please.
And then I'll let you go, and then we'll do Vader Club, because Vader Club talk about a little bit. I loved the Asuka and Kairi turn. I like that Kairi is regretful. I think Asuka's watching some Cesar Romero from 1960s Batman. Seriously, she is. She has to be, because she's doing the same kind of facial stuff that Cesar Romero used to do in the Joker makeup.
Yeah. But unlike Romero, she's a professional, no mustache under the paint.
Yes, no mustache. She would shave if she had a mustache.
If she had a mustache, she would shave it for the character because she's a professional.
Number two, the TNA invasion of NXT was meh to me. I long for, and you will get this reference, a game of checkers, the episode of Oz. Where the riot starts based on something little in the background, not on any of the, everything's tense, but this little thing sets everybody off. And instead it was just the dumbest. Everybody appears in the audience for 10 seconds and then runs into the ring. It's like, I have no interest in this.
Here's two reasons why we should never do an invasion angle ever again. ever again. Number one, the only reason the invasion angle won with WCW and WWF, because it was still a time where there was just enough of the, you know, the business was still sacred, right? Yeah. There was just enough, and people were excited that you're like, yeah, I didn't think I'd ever see Wolverine fight Batman. Holy shit, that's happening. So that's a once-in-a-lifetime sort of thing. And there was still just enough of like, well, is it? Did Shane really buy it? Like, you know, that kind of thing. And number two, there hasn't been an invasion since where you didn't already predetermine. No, you already pre-knew who was going to win. Do you think TNA is going over in the NXT invasion angle? In what world would TKO ever let TNA for a second win an invasion angle? Every invasion angle from now on is going to have one promotion that is demonstrably more powerful, more over, more well-funded, and more successful than the other one, which means the invasion is going one way and one way only. You can never do it again. It doesn't work. I don't give a shit.
And my third point is there are times where wrestling comedy will make me laugh to the point where I have to pause the show. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And just shake my head and go, my God, that was so great. And it was during Stokely Hathaway's promo last night.
A treasure.
Where he goes, we were talking Sunday afternoon after church. And I just pause.
Yeah.
And I go, only a heel could get away. Like, don't get me wrong. I was walking up the ramp to meet her. All right. Uh-huh. A little bit bad, but that is such a subtle.
Yeah.
Subtle thing that I went, of course.
Yes.
We were at church on Sunday praying for forgiveness.
It's a kind of line that's bulletproof, because even if you're relaying it to your friend who didn't see it, they can hear his meter and timing. We were talking after church, right? It's that sort of like that weaselly chicken shit heel thing of like,
and it's just kind of sneaking it in there. Yeah. What he's doing is he's giving the punchline for the setup.
Yeah.
As opposed to, man, we did so much bad stuff, we had to go to church the other day. It's already jumped ahead of that, and it's the setup for the joke. We were at church on Sunday.
As regular churchgoers and men of faith, right, heels, I agree with you, the idea of like, one for Vader Club, I almost chose from, there's a couple different ones I almost chose. One of them was Stokely Carmichael being the person he was managing lost the stipulation so that he had to wrestle. I think it was Orange Cassidy and him just being like, he trained, he can take a bumps and all that kind of stuff. He's not Cornette. He's probably closer to like a Don Callis who's actually have in-ring experience, and just him coming out in the Zubas and the shirt that's like a little too tight. And
I think I saw that match actually. I thought that was Evolve at Mania Weekend or something one time, but it's
in like its tiniest room, but like it is pure on theater. So when you're talking about like, I think that 5 minutes alone with Willow where he has to do like, you know, where it's Cornette. It's like, yeah, where Cornette would have like, Dusty just needs 5 minutes with Cornette alone, or like the Midnight Express boys get knocked out. But good old fashioned, like, yeah, Willow gets 5 minutes alone with the stip of whatever the match is, that if it's going to be trios. Yeah, she gets 5 minutes alone with Stokely Carmichael in a match, no interference. And like that guy can bump and make himself and her look like $1 million. He's a treasure. He's an absolute treasure.
Right. Do you have any other quick hits that you want to get to? Like the Statlander thing I thought was fine, but it was sorry to bring up another one, but I don't see her as a baby face. She's back to square one. Great.
I'll let you
tell your thing. I'm sorry.
To me, that was definitely, I've been a fan of Statlander since the beginning. I love the alien bit. I know a lot of people weren't for it, but I'm like, hey man, it's all an alternate reality. Wrestling is one of the few places where it's like, yeah, that guy is a wrestling bowl of curry. We go, yeah, that tracks, right? Mick Foley is three different people, and you're the ding-dong if you point it out. Like, play along with it. So I've been a fan for since the beginning, but I was legitimately shocked that she not only won the championship, but pinned Tony outright. I feel like that was a little bit of a, it didn't put the other over the other two gals that were in that four way. Wasn't sure why it should be the four way in the first place. I don't know what Tony's, does Tony need time off? Is she going to go shoot something? Is she doing a movie? Is she going to have another breakdown like she did? Is she going to build herself back up to the rocker chick with the sunglasses and the black and red leather? Like, is it the opposite? I there was nothing. It's a shocker. And then to say like Kurt, I've always been a fan of Statlander, but Statlander has no crew. She's kind of in a weird in between will she, won't she story that isn't really clear, that you have to establish a little bit more before you actually establish the main storyline, which is you are the women's AEW champion. You're the top dog. And has she ever cut a promo in your life that made you feel like you could send her out there for the first 10 minutes of any building you go into? Absolutely not. Look at everybody else. Hangman can. Mercedes can. Anyone who's holding up Effie in GCW, one of my favorites. Any of them. I'm not saying 20 minutes like Hunter used to waste of our times. 10. 10 with a microphone, and even in front of the most generous crowd that wouldn't want at her or try and get themselves over. I don't think she could talk for 10 minutes and get people in the door. Then why are you belting her? That is wrestling 101. If they can't talk them in, you don't belt them. And is this a Ronnie Garvin thing where she just drops it after 6 months and hey, this is a good. All that talent that they have, that we just talked about, and Statlander, sometimes a surprise is surprising because it's wrong, right?
Any other quick hits on the weeklies before we go to Vader Club, or are you good?
No, I'm good. So, Cody Rhodes is back on Monday now, and I don't know where the rest of those guys are. If they're going to be on SmackDown, if Punk's going to be on SmackDown, I just want them to tell television shows. They're on networks that have other television shows that are wildly successful. Someone steal Bon Appetit, my prince, from Netflix, and do that in your mid-card, and just give me a story that has a beginning, middle, and end every week, and a beginning, middle, and end over 6 weeks leading up to the pay-per-view, and I'll prepay for all of your pay-per-views for forever. Just give me one mid-card that like gives a shit. Maybe that'll be OC. Maybe Orange Cassidy now, and I'll come back.
Maybe.
Maybe, or maybe Rocky Romero will come out and attack him for some reason, and I'm just furious again.
So Vader Club, I let you select. It's from Beyond Wrestling,
Yes!
which we haven't gone to. Has
Yes!
one of my favorites. One of the I love R.D. Evans in every facet of the imagination. That guy should be a millionaire many
Yes!
times over. And I have said this
Preach!
for years. Mixed martial Archie. The marching band gimmick, the kind and handsome and kind stranger, is that what?
The handsome mysterious stranger.
Mysterious stranger. Thank you very much. There's one of the matches. I don't know. Did you ever see the Chuck Taylor match with the painting? That thing was brilliant.
Oh,
I love that.
magnifique.
But this is your match, so I will let you intro it.
Yes, so this is from Americana 19, from Beyond Wrestling. I don't watch a ton of Beyond. I'm more of I watch
Defy.
I watch a fair bit of GCW, some Defy. I'm not a completist in a lot of ways as that other artists. Like if I'm into an artist, I don't have to buy all of their records. I will love the crap out of one of their songs or one or two albums and listen over and over again. So I will go to Defy when it's like when it's Swerve. And oh my God, why am I blanking? The patriarchy. Why can't I remember the kid's name?
Oh, Nick Wayne.
Yeah, Nick Wayne. Sorry. So when it's Swerve and Nick Wayne at Defy, crazy good. When it's John Morrison and Darby Allin at Defy, crazy good. I'll watch Progress for if I want to see the banger matches. What I'd like about Beyond is that they do have a tendency to not go. It's not like Chikara where it's not going to break into a baseball game in the middle of a match, but they will. They will allow you to tell. They will allow to tell a story. So I chose this one because I knew how big of a fan you are of R.D. Evan, and I felt like if I chose like Orange Cassidy and Session Moth Martina against the bad boy, the bad girl, you would have killed me. If I had done Orange Cassidy against Sue Young, where Sue turned him into a zombie halfway through, you would have killed me.
No, I love Sue
Right?
Young. Sue
What?
Young is I am unapologetically a fan of
Thank.
Vannara Riggs. I loved the gimmick where she was Susie
Su
Susan and
Susan and Sue Young. The three faces of
I'm just gonna say this. Susan, kind of my jam in
terms
of
100%.
The
Agreed.
Button down shirt and the mm-hmm. glasses and
the glasses.
Stuff. I absolutely adored that.
Jeff so Jeff likes him ways. A commandeering woman for sure.
Yes,
where she's just
indeed.
Where, she,
Thank you.
Where she's
a
like Susan.
Woman.
A commandeering woman.
An alpha
Susan.
Chick. I like the lawyers. I like the doctors. What can I say?
You'll be going to the cigar bar with me this evening, Mr. Hawkins. You're like, yes, Susan, I will.
Yes, ma'am.
So there's that. So this match was great because I want to set you up for this. So give people some background. Why is R.D. Evans in this retirement match? What had happened just previously to this match?
This is when he famously quit WWE creative
yes.
and got yelled at by Vince McMahon. So he is doing the quit man. RDA.
Yeah.
This is why he is dressed in Bret Hart inspired gear in many ways. And he is just, and this is at, I looked up the date. This is April 2019. So this is right before, I mean, everything is starting to shut down.
Yeah.
Or no. 2019 is,
yeah,
did everything shut down in 20 or 19? I can't remember.
January is when things started propping up. February is when people are going, March 2020. March 13th, 2020 is when it was shut
2020.
Down.
Okay, I thought it was 19, so my
but
years
this,
are
But
off.
this is right leading up to it. Like, it's lots of things to remember. Like, they weren't planning on going from Daly's place for 2 years straight in AEW, right? This was the building where everything, so there was a big deal when he walked out of WWE. It was a huge deal.
And if you watch this expecting a match, you're not going to get it.
But you do. Both of them are on their all three
on their all three of them are on their bullshit. Bryce Remsburg, friend of the Philadelphia improv community.
He's a graduate from FIT. He's a FIT guy,
yeah,
Philadelphia Improv
guy.
Theater.
He probably saw one of our Billy Hawk shows and said, "I never want to do that. Let's go into wrestling."
Yeah, I'm confident he is. I would never do this to you, but those of you who are watching, and so Bryce Remsburg is the referee in this match. He currently works for AEW. Famously, when Ruby Soho showed up and won her match, the first thing she did was look up and say, "Hi, Bryce," right? And they all hugged and did that stuff. Because that was right after Chikara had shut down, and we don't have to go into that. So, but I will say that this is a match. You know, Bryce Remsburg also famous for refereeing the match between the Invisible Man and his brother.
Invisible Man and
Invisible
Stan.
Stan.
Yes, which is phenomenal.
Anytime someone who is in improv says, "Oh, you're into that wrestling stuff," I show them that and I tell them that he's a Philly guy from FIT, and they all go, "Yeah." So, but it is a wrestling match. They are doing all the moves. Just because they're doing it slow enough for you to know how the sausage is made doesn't mean it is not absolutely accurate to the narrative storytelling that they're
great.
Doing. Yeah. I mean, to be certain, the soft kicks and the hands in the pocket and the works more here than it does at the inaugural All In battle royal with Tommy Dreamer, right? It's context.
The moment I popped hardest was Evans announcing he was going to put on a headlock.
Yeah, right.
I am going to put on a headlock, a wrestling maneuver.
And here's why I'll defend this super, super much. So I used to work at Up Rocks, and my editor at the time was a guy by the name of Bill Hanstock. Really love Bill. Big Bill is great. He wrote a book called We Promised You an Evening Entertainment. I think I'm getting the title right. It's about We Promised You a Great Show. It's about WWE and all that. And he's got a great passage in that book where he says that The Rock isn't a great professional wrestler. The Rock is a great – manifestation of what we think a professional wrestler is. When he does the big slap and hits like that, and then doing that, they don't look like good punches. They're terrible looking. But to fill an arena, to play to the cheap seats, the way that an Axl Rose or like a Celine Dion was, they are perfect. The Rock has figured out what the interpretation of a professional wrestler is.
The Al Pacino-ing, as we call it on this show occasionally.
Does the people's elbow hurt? Of course it doesn't. Didn't famously Mick Foley say, "I'm not taking that thing. I'm not putting that over." But it looks like a dynamite thing, so people do it. How is that any different than what Artie Evans, Orange Cassidy, and Bryce Remsburg are doing it. The only thing I'm bad about, the only thing I'm sad about, because then I want you to name a couple other things that you like, because I know you do. The only thing I'm sad about is I cannot find a copy, the original copy, the original version that has the commentary over it. Because my absolute favorite part of that match, you did not get to see. So when he's walking away after he's done the first pin, right? And Artie Evans is like trying to get him to get one more because he doesn't want to retire, right?
Right.
The Fast and the Furious movies suck. And you just see Orange Cassidy pause. Commentary, because I've watched it, the original commentary is like, oh, Orange Cassidy loves the Fast and Furious movies. And then right then, Artie Evans goes, especially Fast Five. And the commentary goes, no, that's his favorite one. That's when Orange Cassidy turns and marches back down. The commentary going, especially Fast Five, no, that's his favorite one. That is all wrestling is distilled down to its basic essence. If you just follow the narrative structure and pattern that we've all agreed and internalized, you can do something as horseshit as having sunglasses on your opponent's body who didn't even know what he dressed. Come on,
My
man.
great what if is Toru Yano and Artie Evans. I just
Oh.
think that would be such magic because, as I say, Toru Yano's entire thing is deconstruction of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Don't want to do bumps, sell your merch, don't want to stay too long, get paid.
Yes.
That's all he wants, and I love it.
And has it been again going back to this match and like you're just watching a masterclass in pro wrestling technique? Isn't that what all those old timers always say? Slow down, take less bumps, do less, make it look like it hurts, but don't actually hurt. Take care of your other guy. You're doing too much, man. All that stuff. Bump counter. What bump counter is being added to by the three of them poking each other into an eye, lightly running into each other, laying down, and then waiting a couple moment, and then with their eyes closed and not moving, they all counted out so they could all do the Undertaker sit up. It's a master class. Just do that and make it more serious. Because people shit on, they're like, oh, that's that goofy comedy wrestling. I'm like, this has more what should the old guys call it, like a ring generalship, right? With the facials and selling and do that and the back and forth and how you build a match, you work a limb and all that. They're doing it in this trios match more than I see week to week on AEW.
AEW, yeah, that's my
What?
problem is I
I'll
see
flat
nothing
out say
matters.
it.
There's no
No.
emotion. There's no nobody gets injured. It doesn't matter. You just are doing moves until you catch something, or you do like three great moves in a row. You lay down there for about 2 minutes, and everybody yells, "This is wrestling," and claps for a bit.
Not
It's
everybody
just.
watching this, not everybody watching this will know it, but you'll know it now. Hawkins' favorite wrestler, Tully Blanchard. My
Yeah.
favorite, Magnum TA. We have talked about that I quit match. I don't know how many countless times. It is wrestling perfection. Why would I pay money to see an I quit match? Because you're dead. Did they bury you? Weren't you already in a coffin match? Why is there an I quit match coming next? Narratively, there's no heightening. It doesn't matter. I didn't get you to say I quit. Should have led to the coffin match.
No, the flamethrower is heightening.
But it's
We have
not. How many
flame.
times have I
It's
seen that
never
guy
going
with
to
a
be used.
flamethrower?
It's never going to. Or it will be used, and we'll go, why the hell are they doing that in a wrestling match? Because if he covers himself in like the gel and gets set on fire, you're
No,
kind of like.
this is not Chekhov where it's like, oh, they've been showing it, but now they're going to finally use it, right? The gun in the first act has to go off in the third act.
Yes,
And even that
yes.
doesn't work because Chekhov read that and then wrote specifically a play where a gun shows up and then never goes off, right? So it doesn't. I've already seen Darby Allin with. You know what would drive me crazy? I mean, drive me wild with hysteria is if you, if a pivot, a flip. I've seen him so many times with a flamethrower. Have him go to, have him be a, show up to an open challenge for a Ring of Honor show where he does the pure title. He does a pure title match so good that everyone's like, holy shit, I didn't know this guy could get down like this.
Yes.
Something where they just changes up. I don't need to see Eddie Kingston, who I love to death, bringing out another gas can. I've seen it. I've seen it. And since you're not going to bring a chainsaw, you have to, how can I miss you if you don't go away? Stop bringing
Yeah.
out a flamethrower so you can bring out a flamethrower 2 years ago, 2 years from now to make it easy. It's beautiful. What do you have, what was your second favorite part of the Americana match between R.G. Evans and Orange Cassidy?
Oh no. That was a good note to end on there. I thought
okay,
you
good.
You
All right.
Perfectly. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes on X. You can follow me at Crep Game 13. I also do the Dynamite show over on Fight Game Media about 20 minutes after 7/10 p.m. Paul Ace Fontaine of Figure Four and I go live deconstructing everything from that week's AEW Dynamite. Brian James O'Connell does not have X, but he does have other medias and other projects. And you should probably plug your movies in case nobody's ever seen Pedro Pascal or Matthew Berry in a low budget film.
Yes. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. So you can pretty much find me on all social media at B3OC. That's B, the number 3OC, or it's BOC, ITS BOC, or the real BOC. I think you all know how to spell that. R-E-A-L. R-E-A-L, not E-E-L. It's not a filmmaker pun. I hate puns, the lowest form of comedy. Yeah, so I have a movie called Bloodsucking Bastards that was made with my boy Pedro Pascal right before he booked Game of Thrones. Very lucky for me. And then I made a movie called Angry White Man with my best friends from college that Jeff has met, starring Matt Berry and Scoot McNairy and Steve Agee. Yeah, Scoot. We've known Scoot for a long time. Scoot was the first one cast on that movie because he and Bob had made a movie together before called Marcus. That was Matt Berry's first American film, so I like to tip my hat on that. I'm a part of a comedy wrestling collective called Nearly Average Wrestling, NAW. Once a month at the Elysian here in Los Angeles, we do Gnaw or Never. It's kind of like Pee-wee's Playhouse meets The Voice, or The Voice body slam by Pee-wee's Playhouse. We have all kinds of great wrestling judges. The last one was Vinny Pacifico. Josh Barnett, the War Master, and Jonathan Coachman came out of retirement and wrestled for the first time in I don't know how many years in the big brawl at the end against a Raptor. I am the professional wrestling character coach of NAW. So just follow us on social media there, or just look up the Elysian. We're there once a month all the time. I might be getting written off for October because I'm about to go on a European tour everywhere from Portugal to Spain to Germany, all throughout the UK, Ireland, Scotland, and doing my improv teaching coaching. And then the last thing I'll say is I'm on the board of directors of a improv and comedy theater in Baltimore called Highwire. Highwire Improv. We just opened our first brick and mortar place of all time.
Nice.
It's called the Highwire Center. Yeah, we started, Highwire started as a online improv during the pandemic. So we celebrated our five year anniversary and then opened a brand new place. They are who I do all my tours with. Please go and check them out. They're great people and I'm honored to be a part of that. And hopefully you'll probably get to perform in the place before I do, so with my travels. But I'm very happy to be filling in the giant shoes of Chris Novembrino. I love me some Nov. I love tuning into the show every week. And I know I'm biased, but I'm a big fan of this old man, Jeff Hawkins, right there. One of my best friends in the world. One of the most decent human beings I've ever met. And I'm
all
glad
right,
to come back
up.
And chat with
wrap
him.
It up.
I'm glad to come and chat with him again. All right,
I'll
talk fast.
Later. Bye.
Bye.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
Wrestling Omakase is back, baby. The weekly podcast that takes you across all the top promotions on the entire Japanese wrestling scene, from New Japan to Stardom, NOAH, DDT, All Japan, Mari Gold, Dragon Gate, Tokyo Joshi, Sendai Girls, and a whole lot more. I'm John Carroll, a fan of Japanese wrestling for over 20 years, and every week I'm joined by a rotating cast of guest co-hosts as we break down all the top promotions in Japan, men's and women's. Check out Wrestling Omakase right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.